When copyrights expire, today's artists can breathe new life into old works of art. Here's David Smith with this week's edition of David and Art on KWBU.
On January 1st of this year, almost all creative works that were first copyrighted in 1923 entered what's called the public domain. That means that anyone who wants to can record, remake, perform, or use the image of an artwork without having to obtain permission or pay compensation. It was the largest collective copyright expiration in more than 20 years. Due to changes in copyright law enacted back in 1998, from now on, this will be an annual occurrence. As of a couple of weeks ago, what's now available for free and creative use include the silent film version of Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments and a Harold Lloyd movie called Safety Last, whose most memorable scene involves the comedian hanging from the hands of a clock tower high over traffic. You can now record a cover version of The Charleston, The King Porter Stomp, The Tin Roof Blues, and even, should you care to, Yes, We Have No Bananas, without permission or payment. Today's artists can now incorporate some innovative works by Picasso, Kandinsky, Matisse, and groundbreaking photographer Man Ray without fear of legal action. In 2008, former NEA chairman Bill Ivey wrote an eye-opening book about the incompatibility of art and business called Arts Incorporated: How Greed and Neglect Have Destroyed Our Cultural Rights. It's a sharp indictment of the ways in which business has used the broader art world for the sake of profit. I recommend it to anyone who wants to see what our elevation of commerce over everything else does to art. Art is about personal expression, of course, but Ivy points out that a nation's expressive life is also a container for its heritage. And he doesn't think that market forces alone are the best way to preserve that heritage and make it available to enrich the expressive lives of citizens. These days, he said, people don't know that our creative heritage is mostly owned by multinational companies, and they want to retain tight control over pieces of that heritage, whether photographs, music, or works of literature. As chairman of the NEA, Ivy got to see just how little attention politicians pay to these issues. It's not as though policy leaders never see art and artists, he says. They just don't place America's expressive life anywhere on the public interest agenda. It would be better for the arts if we all started doing that. I've said many times that artists should be the ones who profit most from their art, and I believe that fully. But at some point, works of art become common possessions of the culture. Our laws should see that businesses can't prevent that from happening.